Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Toyota of Brookhaven has been voted best new car dealership in Southwest Mississippi 4 years in a row. Come see the difference. Exit 40 Brookhaven or online at toyotabrookhaven.com. Great service, great savings. At Toyota of Brookhaven, we deliver.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Rebel Report, and Happy New Year. My name is Michael Borky. Appreciate you being here. Obviously not live tonight. As I told you before, it's New Year's Eve. College football playoff also going on as we're supposed to be live, so it didn't make much sense to actually do a live show. But I want to bring you an episode anyway, talking about the Gator Bowl. A couple of things on that, and also grading the non-conference schedule slate, whatever you want to call it, for Ole Miss basketball. What grade should the team have so far? As conference play begins on Saturday, sneaky important game with Georgia. The path to 8 conference wins, it looks murky without a home win over Georgia. So sneaky, a lot of pressure on this basketball team coming up on Saturday. So we'll do all that with you on this edition of the show. Again, my name is Michael Borky. Please don't forget to subscribe, if you have not already, both to the channel. If you're listening on Super Talk's YouTube or watching, there's a podcast feed. Search Rebel Report wherever you get them and subscribe. And if you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review. Also, leave a like and a comment as well. I read them, I see them, I engage with them. So don't forget to be a part of the conversation that way, even when we're not live or if you're watching or listening after the fact. This podcast is presented always by the Gregory Law Firm, by the way. DJ Gregory, he's in Fulton, Mississippi, but he can service you anywhere in this great state. If you have been personally injured, don't waste another second. Call DJ Gregory at 662-397-9799. Also, if you're a small business owner and you need some legal advice or you want to start a small business, or you may not need that legal advice today, but if you are a small business owner, something's going to come up at some point where you need some help, and DJ Gregory has got you covered. Save this number. If you don't need it today, you might need it down the road, and you don't want to be kind of left out in the cold, not knowing where to go if something happens to you with your small business. 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ Gregory today. DJ Gregory for all of your personal injury, small business, and contract disputes. So we talked about it a little bit on the last episode. The Cam Ward opting out at halftime thing. And, you know, regardless if it was Miami's decision, if they decided it together, if it's what he wanted to do, doesn't matter. It's what happened. Miami's quarterback in a 3-point game, I know it's the Pop-Tart Bowl, I know, but in a 3-point game, decided everybody involved or one person involved or some combination of that decided that he will no longer play in the game. And he stood on the sidelines watching his team with a backup quarterback that was not ready for that moment in any way, shape, or form lose the game. That happened to Miami, and of course it led to a lot of conversation, including on our radio show and of course on the podcast with you guys. And speaking of the radio show, I was asked about it yesterday. Should Jackson Dart and Ole Miss do the same thing? Should they put him on a very clearly defined, you're only going to play a half, you're only going to play this amount, regardless of the score, and pull him out? It's an interesting question because there's been a lot of talk about the Gator Bowl and specifically what's next for Ole Miss, right? This is more of a conclusion, an end of an era. And, you know, we've talked about what's on the line. We did it last time. They can win 39 games in 4 years. That's rather significant. I mean, you're talking about the possibility of 21 wins in 2 years. For Jackson Dart, would it be 29 wins in 3 years as a starter? That's exceptional. And he's going to, with a below average game, he's going to break multiple records even more. And so it's kind of like it's a finish line as opposed to a shot into the future. And so I've heard from Ole Miss fans that want to see a lot of Austin Simmons. There was a line of thinking that I agree with, actually. I would be more interested in this game had Jackson Dart opted out completely. Now, I would never have expected him to. I think it's good that he didn't. I, quote-unquote, admire these guys to some degree. I know that it should be the baseline expectation that players play in the games with their team. But because of how much encouragement there has been to opt out, I loved watching Shedeur Sanders play. I mean, his line was getting beat up. He was getting hit hard. His team was getting beaten down pretty badly, and he played the whole game. I like to see that. I think that that should be the thing that we encourage and praise more than guys sitting out of their games, and especially leaving them at halftime. But from an interest perspective, frankly, I would be a little bit more interested in this game had Jackson Dart decided not to play in it, because you would get a glimpse into the future of Ole Miss football with Austin Simmons as their quarterback. We already know what Jackson Dart is, what he's capable of. This is the finish line. If Austin Simmons were to play, that would be, you know, the starting gun, right? It would be a totally different interest level and perspective. So I kind of agree with that line of thinking. I never would have expected him to, but still, I understand why people want to see a lot of Austin Simmons. It makes sense to me. I understand why people are talking about and asking about the possibility of them being Ole Miss doing the same thing that Miami did. My answer is a hard no, though. It is a hard no should they pull Jackson Dart at halftime or whatever, regardless of the score. I cannot possibly hate what Miami did more than I do. I think if you're going to play, then you play. And if you're not going to play, then don't. But to dip your toes in and break a record and leave at halftime and stand on the sidelines while your team loses a game, regardless of who the sponsor is of the game, I think that's a bad precedent to set. I think as a competitor, that says a lot about you. I think as a coach that's trying to set a culture, that says a lot about you. If I'm going to heavily criticize Miami for doing that very thing where they tried to half rear-end it, then I would be equally as critical of Ole Miss for doing the same thing with Jackson Dart. If he's going to play, then he's going to play. And you pull him only when he gets hurt or if the game is comfortable. Because as we've talked about this, and as this has been a topic of conversation over the last few days, I've seen some Ole Miss people bring up Laramie Tunsil. The game was a blowout when they decided to pull him out of the game. Hugh Freeze, in that moment, I wasn't on the sidelines, but in that moment, it was obvious. It's okay, Laramie. Had some fun. You caught a touchdown pass. You, hold on, I dropped my pen, and I need something to play with. You caught your touchdown pass in complete and total control of this game, blowing them out. Come here, sit down. You're a first-round pick. That's totally different than taking a guy out in a three-point game, especially at the quarterback position as opposed to an offensive tackle. If Jackson Dart's going to play in this game, he needs to play in this game. And you only take him out when the game is comfortable, when you are holding a comfortable lead. But for Lane Kiffin to do the same thing and Jackson Dart to do the same thing that Miami did is to pull him out of a three-point game just to watch your team lose would be a terrible end to this season. It's something that I'm, like I said, I'm very critical of. I think it sends a bad message. Jackson Dart's also not a first-round pick either, and I highly doubt he would agree to something like that, considering the kind of competitor that he is. But the easy answer to me is no. It's absolutely not. If he's going to play, he's going to play. And only until the game has been decided should you pull your quarterback. However, I would like for that to happen organically. I think it would be excellent for Ole Miss to have, on two fronts, to play well enough with a shorthanded Duke who's playing a quarterback that has barely played, and when he did, it wasn't particularly good in his very limited snaps. I think it would be great for Ole Miss to have that situation happen organically, where Jackson Dart can break his record, and Ole Miss can comfortably win this game, and you can pull him out and have like an ovation of some kind as like a final send-off of Jackson Dart, and also get a big long look at Austin Simmons, and do it without the possibility of blowing the game for your team. Do it without the possibility of controversy. Come out of the gate, play well, get a big lead, and allow it to happen organically. That is the perfect scenario for this game. That is the best case scenario. That is what you hope happens. They come out, they look sharp, they dominate. And I know some other guys apparently are going to play fewer snaps than they would if this was, you know, Georgia, right? Like Walter Nolan might only, you know, play a few dozen snaps as opposed to, you know, 70 or whatever. He's been banged up in and of itself. I understand that. Get out, or I understand that that's a possibility. It is different with your quarterback, as you guys know, but play well early, execute, get a comfortable lead, give him his send-off, give him his record, play Austin Simmons, and I mean, that would check every box, right? You win the game, you win 10 games, check. You get Jackson Dart his individual record organically, check. You get him a final send-off, check. You get a big, long look at your quarterback of the future, check, check, check. That would be a best-case scenario for this game, and if that's what does happen on Thursday night, we're going to talk about it some. But to do what Miami did, I think that's a no-go, and that would be a really bad way. I don't think they're going to do that either, but it's just a topic of conversation in an otherwise kind of boring week in Ole Miss newsland. I think it would be a uncharacteristic end to an era where playing through pain and stuff like that and toughness has kind of been the brand of Jackson Dart. So they won't do it. I don't expect them to do it, but they certainly should not. The podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Happy to report, by the way, got the email yesterday that they're back on with us. They have renewed with us, so that's pretty cool. So appreciate our friends at Advantage Business Systems. Check them out, absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. So if you need tech in the office, absms.com is the website where you get it. Tell them I sent you. You get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. It's Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. Podcast is also brought to you in part by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money because Priority One Bank makes you their priority, and they are also back with us as well. So appreciate them. If you guys want to be a part of my partnership lineup here on the podcast, send me an email, borky@supertalk.fm. We're getting renewals. We're getting testimonials about how this works. Podcast advertising with SuperTalk works. Radio advertising with SuperTalk works. If you want your Mississippi business out there, if you want to reach Ole Miss fans or you want to reach a statewide audience on our 12 radio stations, send me an email. Borky@supertalk.fm is where you do it. We got pretty great rates for how successful our advertising is, very clearly. I mean, we've had partners on the radio show for a decade. Because it works, and it will work for you as well. Just give DJ Gregory a call and ask him how this works, and I'm sure he'll tell you because it simply does. So check it out. Logan Diggs going to make his reportedly going to make his first appearance in an Ole Miss uniform. I'm curious about what that will look like from a carries distribution perspective. He is coming off of an injury. It's basically a year removed from said injury, almost to the day, I guess, from that ACL injury in the bowl game last year. I am very curious to see how he looks, and it may not be the best. It's probably not the best thing to judge his performance based on this. I mean, hasn't gone through like a full training camp or anything like that. There's getting into shape and there's getting into football shape. Apparently, he has been practicing with the team for a few weeks, especially towards the end of the season. There was this line of thinking that he could get some snaps and it never materialized for whatever reason. But this is somebody that, with how the running back portal has gone so far, they need him to be effective. Now, I think they're going to sign a portal running back, but they have swung and missed, whether it be for that they just missed, like a recruiting miss, or the players were asking for more money. I don't know what the reason is. I have no idea, but I do know that they've missed on running backs. They have brought guys in for visits, and they have gone elsewhere. And right now, that running back room is a sophomore Missouri transfer that had just over 100 yards this season. So a barely played Missouri transfer, a freshman, a walk-on, and Logan Diggs, who is coming off of that ACL injury. So they need to add in the running back room, but I'm curious to see how he plays. I'm very interested to see how he plays because that will kind of give us an idea of how desperate they really are at the position. Because right now, there's some upside. There's some upside with the freshman. There's some upside with Lacey. So there are things to like there, but there is nothing proven in an Ole Miss uniform anyway. in that running back room, and there's a lot of questions there. And if he looks good, if he looks like he's got that bounce that he used to have, he's a very solid back. Is he a Heisman Trophy winning back? He hasn't showed that ability quite yet, but he's good. I mean, useful. Definitely useful, and Ole Miss could have used a healthy version of him this season, regardless of the offensive line woes. So if he has returned to that form, then you're not as desperate at that position in the portal. But if it's sluggish looking, it may make you think that they're a little bit more desperate at the position than we even thought ahead of time. So maybe that's not particularly fair because it is just a bowl game and it is his first game action, but it's a position that had a magnifying glass on it for an entire season already. And so far they've missed in the portal. And so I'm thinking that they need Logan Diggs to produce for them next year and a nice showing, depending on how many snaps he gets in the Gator Bowl, would inspire some confidence in the position moving forward. So really keeping a close eye on that. Also watching some of the guys, if they're able to get to their backups, right? There's a lot of guys that you should watch in this game closely, especially on the defensive line, Franklin, Echols, and those guys. What do they look like getting some extended snaps if Ole Miss is able to do that, which I think that they're going to do that. That's the plan anyway, to rotate a lot of guys, especially defensively. What do they have there? What do they have in the secondary? What do they have at defensive back? And how desperate are they? I know they've already added a couple of portal guys anyway, but what do they have at defensive back? What do they have at wide receiver? Is Aiden Williams going to play some? I would assume he will. So what does he look like? Because apparently he's going to return to Ole Miss after this season. So if the goal is to win this game and have a comfortable lead and play a lot of guys, then what do they look like? That will be a nice gauge of how important these next few weeks in the portal are and the spring window are, with how they need to add and how much money they need to spend in their effort to do that. So that's what I'm watching for in this game. Beyond just, you know, can they win and get the 10 wins and all that stuff, it's when they go to the backups, when they go to the twos and the guys that they expect to depend on next season, what does it look like? How mentally and physically prepared are they? Because I know Duke's got opt-outs and stuff like that, but it's a 9-win Duke team. It's a good football team. So what does Cam Franklin look like if they get him some extended snaps? That's what I'm watching for the most in this game. And if they're able to get to Austin Simmons, well, there's the obvious one right there. So can they control the game from the jump? Can they get a lead? And can the twos and possibly the threes, when they come in, look like they are guys that they will be able to depend on coming up next season? Before we get to the basketball grade, there's something that I want to tell you about. You guys, if you listen to the radio show every day, you know that I love to support Mississippi companies, and I know that you guys love to support Mississippi companies. And as a coffee drinker, especially, this speaks to me on a personal level. There is a local Mississippi coffee company that's doing something that I think is really cool, and I wanted to tell you about it. It's a company called Coffee Bean Corral, and what they're doing is they're raising money to help build and support childcare centers for the kids of the migrant coffee farmers in Costa Rica. So I've got to read this. I tried to memorize this and I failed completely. So I want to read this to you to tell you about it, and you may be compelled to support it. So check this out. And again, forgive my Spanish. There's some Spanish words in here. And yes, I did pass all of my Spanish classes at Ole Miss. The third level, I had to take twice. Don't tell anybody. So forgive me if I butcher some of this, but I think you guys will get the gist of it. Let me tell you about it. The Casas de Alegria, I believe I'm saying that correctly, is a child care center. They provide, as you can imagine, you know, a safe and nurturing environment for kids, just like the ones that I'm sure yours go to, just like mine goes to. And it's in a child care center for the migrant coffee farmers at La Manita Estate. I believe I'm saying that correctly. Again, forgive me if I haven't. If you're compelled to make a donation, like I have done already, visit coffeebeancorral.com and look for the magnifying glass icon at the top of your screen. Type in A-L-E-G-R-I-A, A-L-E-G-R-I-A, and hit search. There's multiple donation amounts. Whatever compels you is the one that you can select. Do not feel pressured to go higher than you need to. It is 100% of your donation goes directly to supporting the child care centers for the coffee farmers that produce the coffee that we drink here in Mississippi. So your gift, again, helps provide child care services, daycare services for the coffee families. Again, visit Coffee Bean Corral, search Alegria, A-L-E-G-R-I-A, today to make your donation. And like me and Coffee Bean Corral, this Mississippi company, again, right in our capital city, we can support the children of the coffee farmers who bring us this. This says our daily cup of joy, the daily cup of necessity to keep me alive. That is what coffee means to me. So again, if you're compelled, that's how you do it. It's a really cool thing. Very, very, very cool thing. And they're just a few hundred dollars away from their goal. So any amount can certainly help that really cool initiative that they're not paying me for this. It just, that spoke to me, and I felt like you guys needed to hear about it. So go ahead and check that out. Ole Miss is officially done in their non-conference basketball schedule. And frankly, it's an interesting one. They're 11-2. They're currently ranked, so they're going to enter the conference schedule ranked. Their strength of record is number 30, by the way. I looked that up. I was a little surprised considering some of the matchups that they had. Kind of a weak non-conference schedule, all things considered, but their strength of record is 30. They're 11-2. They have a win that is currently a quad one win. Maybe it'll change, but at the moment it is one at Louisville. They have a neutral site win over BYU, which is also currently a quad one win. Again, that could change. They could fall out of it, but with the SEC schedule, you're going to have so many. But at the moment, they've got two quad one wins, and they have no bad losses. A neutral site loss to Purdue by only 2 points, and then a loss at Memphis. I know it was ultimately a blowout loss, but a loss at Memphis. This Memphis team with their wins is not going to hurt you at all. Those are neither of which are bad losses. So how would you grade what they've done so far? How would you grade it? That is a very interesting question. What I've landed on is B+. I think Ole Miss has earned a B+ this offseason. I keep saying offseason. This non-conference season going into conference play. And here's why. In part, it's because of something that they could not help. The schedule is not tough enough. They were not tested enough. Now, they were tested, and I think that if you watch them for the first time against Memphis, you didn't get a good look at your basketball team. That wasn't the best that they can play. They have better guards than that. Padula was off. Matt Morrell is kind of working his way back from injury. They turned it over uncharacteristically a high amount. You also saw weaknesses on the block. They lack size, does Ole Miss, and that's going to affect them really all year. But they've played better than that. They were tested, I think, at Louisville. Is that the best Louisville team? No, but they went on the road and absolutely dominated them from the jump. BYU was big and athletic, and Ole Miss matched up well and played well. And it, obviously, you know what Purdue basketball is. And if not for a ball that grazed the rim in the final seconds, Padula was right there to get a rebound, and that game's probably going to overtime. Instead, it was a tip-in, and Purdue wins by two. So that they've been tested. I just don't think they were tested enough, and we haven't seen enough from this team to really know really what their ceiling is. But from the tests that they have, I was impressed mostly with what they did against the better teams that they played. The blowout loss to Memphis is why they also haven't received an A despite being ranked and despite having an SOR of 30 and being 11-2 and stuff like that. They got kind of punked by Memphis and looked like they were a little overwhelmed, frankly, not only by their size, but it looked like they're a little bit shell-shocked. And you can't have that in the SEC because you're going to get environments that are better than that one in the SEC and teams that are more talented than that one. So the schedule didn't test them enough. They have a weakness that they're not long enough, that they're not big enough, and some teams are going to exploit that. But I do think it's a B-plus kind of non-conference slate. Again, they won 11 games, no bad losses. You really like what you have in Padula, despite what the Memphis game looked like. Morrell getting back healthy. He needs to play better than he did on Saturday, but you know that he can certainly give you something. Is he an All-American at this point? I think it's obvious that he's not, but he can give you more than he has in his two games back for sure. They're going to have to score to beat people. They're going to have to make shots to beat people, and they have shown that they can do that. The problem is that's the only way they're going to beat people. I don't think this team's winning very many rock fights. So they enter conference play in good position. Their net is 39, I think, the last I looked at it. In the SEC, there's like exclusively quad one and quad two games, very little opportunities for a net bomb. In fact, there aren't any. So... eight's the magic number. I think they can get to eight. Georgia's going to tell us a lot about this team and their mental makeup and their path to get to 8-10 in the SEC and make the tournament. So it's a B-plus non-conference schedule. They have a couple of wins. That could be good if those two teams hold on to their net spot. No bad losses. They're in fine shape entering conference play. The metrics are fine. They just have to go out and get those wins. Are they capable? We'll have to see. I do think their guard play is good enough, though, to win eight of those games. They're going to have to go out and show us that they can do it. But I think B-plus is a fair grade for this basketball team. So thank you guys for tuning in. We'll be live after the game, after the Gator Bowl. Whenever it ends, whatever time it is, we will be live to react to the game and the season together. I'll see you then. In the meantime, you guys have a happy and safe new year, and I'll talk to you on Thursday after the game.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.